Okay, here we are. It's a Tuesday. We are expecting another guest to appear very soon. We've got Prickles is in, otherwise known as Ali Hayden, and sometimes when she's in trouble we call her Alison. And we've got Julie Davies. Is it Davies or Davis?
With an E.
With an E. So mm-hmm. It's Davis or Davies?
Davis.
All right, we've established that then. And you are from the Isle of Wight Council. Just tell us what your title and your role is.
Okay, I'm the manager of the Isle of Wight Safeguarding Children Board, so it's my responsibility to make sure that the board functions as it should do and support board members to discharge their duties in regards to safeguarding children on the island.
So you've got a really, really important job.
I guess so, yeah.
Do you have sleepless nights?
I do, yeah,
That's good to know. That's good to know straight away, because you think at least you're thinking about the job. Sadly, I mean, you know, you're not getting much sleep.
I was thinking about you last night.
Yeah. Were you really? Yeah. Well, strangely enough, I was thinking a little bit about you, but it didn't keep me awake for a period of time. But so how long have you been in the job?
Since about September 2013. So just over about 14 months now.
Okay. Are you enjoying it? Is it a job that you can enjoy?
When things were obviously... there are tragic circumstances when children are seriously injured or harmed or die, but you get a sense of achievement when actually you can speak to young people and children about the difference that we're able to make by the changes and improvements that we affect as a board. So yeah, there's good and there's bad, so it's balancing it out really.
Okay, so I mean, there's loads of questions that we're going to ask you in the next little while, and hopefully Jonathan will appear at some point, because his role before he became the leader of the council was go on, what was his title, you know?
He was executive member for Children's Services.
Yeah. Yeah, carry on.
That's it. That's what he was.
I've got myself hooked up.
Oh dear.
I was trying to adjust some headphones. Well, that should have been filmed. That was
Harry Hill moment. That was.
There's lots of things we want to talk about, and hopefully, fingers crossed, what we want to do is draw attention to a brand new telephone number as well. It's now live.
It's gone live on the 2nd of February. Yeah.
Okay. And so, why did we change the numbers? Why did we do that?
Is
that
recently?
Yeah.
It means that it's in line with other local government type numbers, 0300 numbers, and also it's a cheaper call rate, I understand.
Right, okay.
So that was the main reason.
Just move yourself around to that you know, the talking. That's better. We'll be able to hear you then. We can still hear you, don't worry. So what is the LSCB?
It stands for Local Safeguarding Children Board, and every local authority in England has to have one, and it came into force as part of the Children Act 2004, so every local authority has to have one in place, and we're there to make sure that all the agencies do what they're supposed to do in relation to safeguard and promote the welfare of children and young people on the island.
How many people have you got working for you around you?
We have a business unit, and there's three of us, so it's a very small team, but we have a board of about 25 people who are on it, and there's people on there like Jonathan Bacon, who's the executive member for Children's Services. He's got a particular role, he's got particular responsibilities he has to make sure he does. Director of Children's Services is on there from the council, and then we have police, schools, primary and secondary schools, probation service. It's a whole mix of what we call statutory partners who are responsible for ensuring that they safeguard children. And then we have representatives from the voluntary sector and community groups on our board as well. It's quite a diverse board, because safeguarding is everybody's responsibility.
So you've obviously you've been on the island a little while now. Did you do the same job elsewhere?
Yeah, I did the same job in Kent and in Herefordshire.
How does it compare?
Quite similar to Herefordshire in that it's very similar community, quite a sort of a rural community, and very similar sort of population. So quite small in size, I guess, population wise. Similar challenges. Kent's huge, right. So Kent was very, very different. Kent's a bit like Hampshire, massive, massive county. Different types of communities all over the place, and very different challenges. So, yeah.
So how do you find it every day down here on the island? Do you think are we similar sort of days, or you know, is it a case of you draw on experience from elsewhere, but it's not quite the same here? Because we have been told many times that people come down from the mainland and they find this a little bit odd. And I must admit, sometimes we can be sticks in the mud, and we don't like change. Mm. So have you come across that sort of?
Yeah, this is how. how we've always done it, and this is what we like. It's quite similar to Herefordshire, actually, I would say, in terms of people saying that that's how they've always done things. But I like to think that what I do is just offer a challenge, just ask the questions. Well, what if we tried this way, did something a little bit differently? Maybe that might make a difference, because there are things that we do need to change and improve on, so that children and people have better outcomes on the island. And we do have the challenges of actually being able to get onto the mainland, and the opportunities that could open up for children and young people if they weren't constrained to thinking there's only things happening on the island. But yeah, it is very different here in terms of feeling constrained, I guess, by that water all around us.
Sure. And, we are unique. We really are unique. I've got to ask you a question. This popped up this morning, and I thought, well, I know you've got a list of stuff that you want to talk about, and we will talk about it because we've got plenty of time to do so. But this morning we were watching, or I was watching, you didn't see it, did you?
I saw it last night.
The app. There was a story about the app.
Oh, right, yeah.
There was something that came to light this morning. It was an app that mothers, fathers can have, children can have too, that they can, just say for instance, if they've got it on their phones, they can actually keep tabs on their children when they go to school. So they can actually watch them go to school. And this app, don't ask me how it works, I don't know. But basically, these children were going to school, and they were the mothers and fathers would have the ability to keep tabs on them, watch and see them get to school safely, and okay. So on. Now, I look at that and I think, okay, when does that become a little bit intrusive and a bit too much?
Mm.
Does it help your job, or does it make it? Does it hinder it a little bit? And you know, we were also talking about these TVs that were out, and last night this was a news story, a big news story. If you've got a Samsung TV and it's, you can talk to it, that those details are then available for other people. So I'm just thinking, how, when you look at those kind of things, do you think, is that helping the situation or is that hindering it?
If you talk about online stuff and you think about use of Facebook and all the social media stuff and the way that that can track your movements, it presents risks and challenges for children and young people, because they could put themselves in situations where they can be tracked by adults because of the information that you are unwittingly making available through your smartphones. So I would say it presents some risks and challenges and worries that we need to think about how we can continue to protect children and young people when they're out and about, thinking that they're just mixing with their friends or going out and seeing other people. It's quite scary in terms of, you need to be aware of what you can turn off and on your phone to ensure that you aren't making the information available unwittingly.
How do you feel? Because I feel exactly the same way as you. How does that make you feel when you think, well, hang on a minute, no one asked us about this. We're trying to do a job and you're now moving the goalposts. I mean, do you ever get a say in any of these types of things?
Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't, and it's our job to shout up really and offer the challenges to people and say, hang on a minute, you can't be doing that. If it's driven by something national, it's difficult, particularly if it's the private sector, to influence what they do. But if it's local, then yes, we can. So for example, one of the things I wanted to talk about today was child sexual exploitation and making young people aware of what that means and how it could affect them. And what we've influenced is getting schools to support us to do a load of awareness raising within schools through something called Chelsea's Choice. So we can have some local influence and control, but it's difficult when it's national, and getting national government to listen to us, whether you're a small place like the Isle of Wight or a big place like Kent and Hampshire, it's still difficult to get government to listen to local people.
Okay, I think it's kind of sad really that this has come in. No one's really been asked about it, and they asked, out of the six children that were there, they asked them whether they thought it was a good idea, and they their ages were something like between 11 and 16, and only two of them thought it was a good idea. And you know, I'm thinking, well, there's your answer. There's your answer. And if you ask parents, I mean, I'm going to ask you, you've got young children, do you think it's a good idea? Do you think it's intrusive?
I think it's quite intrusive for the child. I think from a parent's point of view, if you need to go that far that you'd want to keep that much of an eye on them, surely you'd go with them.
Well, there is that. That's the next best thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I just think, to a certain extent, we are taking away the childhood of an awful lot of children because of what is available there. you know, and we're trying to protect them from a lot of that, aren't we?
There are other ways to protect your children. That is by having that, as you said, that one-to-one contact, those conversations with them, rather than actually relying on a device, which you don't know where that's going to end up when they're at school.
And
in
I think
event.
A lot of parents have forgotten that, to talk to your child. You know, that is the best way of finding out everything, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely, definitely. So, I mean, that's done and dusted. I mean, that's going to happen, and that's going to be, I would imagine, because it's on national TV, it's going to be in the situation now, and that's something else you have to worry about, unfortunately, and us as parents too. Would you let your child have that app? Would you have that app? Would you do it? Would you? Or
probably
be,
not. No.
No.
No. Because I wouldn't. At 12, nearly 13, I wouldn't want to take away the independence that she's just feeling. And I think if I insisted that she had that, she'd always feel like I was watching her, and she wouldn't be who she is.
Developing as a person.
Yeah, she'd try and be something she wasn't because she knew Mum was watching. Mm. And I'm sure when she's at school, she's totally different from how she is at home with me.
Mm.
And I wouldn't want to take that away from her.
But the trouble is that, you know, that life is changing, technology is changing, and I'm guessing you've got to be like, you know, and parents, all parents have got to be like a step ahead all the time. How difficult is that to keep up?
It's very, very difficult with social media, and all this new technology reduces people's interactions with each other. So that's the point you were making, really, about it's don't want to lose that. It's about how children develop as individuals and become good adults with positive outcomes.
Yeah.
But it's difficult to keep track, absolutely.
Is there anything else you want to add on that? We can move on to the next topic, if you like.
No,
nothing else. But, I mean, it's just making the point that that's how tricky it is. And every day something is coming out where it changes and the goalposts move, and you've got to be one step ahead.
You have just got to keep one step. And I think in terms of online safety, that's probably where children are most vulnerable. And there are lots of things that parents can do to support their children without actually monitoring their lives. But it's about parents being aware of that. And there's some really good resources online through our website, which parents can access to help them, help their children stay safe.
Okay, give us the details for the website. We're going to promote this all the way through.
Okay, our website is www.iowscb.org.uk. And I think it's been tweeted and put on your website as well.
Brilliant. Just do that again, because I got mixed up with the SCB.
So the three W's, and then it's an acronym, which is IOWSCB, Isle of Wight Safeguarding Children Board, .org.uk.
Children Board, not Children's Board?
Yeah, it's Children.
Children, no S. Right, okay.
No apostrophe S, no.
No, okay. So just one child who we're looking after. if there was the telephone numbers have changed, I mean, we don't want to mention the old telephone number because that would be really, really daft, but the numbers have changed.
Yes.
And we need to put that out there as well. Because
and that is 0300 300 0117.
Let's just do that again.
Taking my glasses off, Ian. It's 0300 300 0117, and that's 24/7.
Ready for a daft question?
Yeah.
Who would ring that? Who should ring that?
Anybody that's got a concern. It could be yourself, it could be a school teacher, it could be a parent, any member of the community that's got a concern, or they've just got a query about a child or a young person, whatever situation that might be, they can ring that number and get some advice and support. And they can signpost them on if they can't deal with it at that number. But that's available 24/7, 7 days a week.
Okay, so when it comes down to it, what is a child? When are they not? When are they not a child?
Technically, when they're 18, but with children that have disabilities, that can go on until they're support wise can go on until they're 25. So it's not as clear cut, but generally up until their 18th birthday.
Okay, somewhere clear, because I'm just intrigued. I mean, if you're 19 and at school, would you be classed as a child or an adult?
Depends on your circumstances. Generally, if you're not a child with a disability or with learning needs, you'd be generally classed as a young adult.
Okay, a young adult, but you're still at school, so you could technically be a child as well, or not?
No.
No? That's incredible, don't you think? I mean, because I'm in the old mindset of, if you're at school, you're a child.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, is that not a safer way of looking at it? No?
The sort of differentiation in the services, you do transition, that's the word, from becoming a child to an adult at the point you reach 18 years of age, unless you have particular circumstances, and that's normally around special needs or have a physical or learning disability.
Okay.
Then that carries on a little bit longer.
How many children are you responsible for? All your
all of them
on
the island.
A difficult question.
We're responsible for, I mean, in just general terms, any child and young person on the island, we have a responsibility to ensure that they're safe and they achieve positive outcomes in their life.
That's a heck of a responsibility, isn't it? That really is.
You see now I have sleepless nights.
Yeah, I can see. Yeah, I don't see why you're thinking about me though at night. But so you don't have you got a rough idea how many kids there are? You know, we try and sit down and work it out. I mean, there's 142,000 people. There were
30,000 children, people, I think.
30,000. So that's for the size of the island, 30,000 children is a lot of.
Somebody will ring in and say, I've got that wrong, I'm sure.
Well, the leader of the council is just arriving now, so hopefully we'll ask him, we'll put him on the spot straight away, on the back foot, and we'll ask him, we'll let him sit down first, and then we'll ask him the question. Whichever, if it's 10, if it's 20, if it's, you know, it's still a massive responsibility. Hmm. And you say, you've got other people that are around you that are scattered around the island, I'm guessing, that are helping out, because there's no way you could do that all by yourself.
Yeah, I mean, my job is just to make sure that everybody else does their job.
Yeah.
So Jonathan Bacon has particular responsibilities as executive member, director of children's services, the chief inspector of police that's on the island. So it's making sure that everybody fulfills their role and delivers what they're supposed to do in terms of protecting children and young people on the island.
Okay. Well, we'll come to Jonathan in a mo, but just read out that telephone number again. Because this is the reason why you wanted to come in, because you wanted to promote the telephone number. It's important that
so
we know the number.
The new telephone number for children's services
is
that gets you through to the children's reception team is 0300 300 0117.
Okay. And we'll bring in Jonathan. Afternoon, Jonathan.
So
are you going to move that microphone and talk on that one? All right,
I think
then, okay.
It's probably easier, isn't it?
Okay, then. Well, if you like. Yeah, you've broken that one now.
I'm sorry.
You have. I can't hear you now.
Hello?
That's better. Better. All right. So you broke it.
It's just a cheap microphone you've got.
So how are you, and how is the role going? And one of the main questions is, you are now the council leader, and most people would say that, you know, maybe you should concentrate on being the leader, but you've actually taken it upon yourself to carry on the work that you were doing with the children's safeguarding of children and so on and so forth. So why have you done that? So everyone knows.
Because I think it's the right thing to do. We had some interesting times last September in the council, which led to me being asked to take on the children's brief, which wasn't something I was expecting. But I've been doing that now for 5 months, and then of course we've had, I suppose you could say, another little interesting time in the council. I've been asked to take on the role of leader. I do not think it would be the best thing for the children of the island to have continual change in the person responsible for them and education. It just wouldn't serve the function properly to just keep chopping and changing that person, because there's an awful lot to learn to get to grips with, and maybe I'm not completely to grips with everything now after 5 months, and to throw someone else into that straight away just seemed farcical. I thought very carefully about whether it's something I should do, whether I should be considered to take on the leadership as well as doing children's services, but you know, it's possible to do both. Everything seems to be fitting in okay at the moment. But as I say, I think the primary thing must be the interests of the children in the Isle of Wight. If I'd been advised that, you know, really you can't combine the leadership and the children's services role, I wouldn't be leader now.
Okay, well that's good to know, and I feel positive about that, because you know, knowing full well that you know you're staying. Well, at some point will you step aside and let somebody else? Do you feel passionately enough to stay and see the job through?
I feel passionately about it. I mean, I can't say what's going to happen in the future. Who can? But at the moment. Stability is important, because once you've got stability, and this applies to, not wishing to be political, but this applies across the council, if you've got stability then you've got a base you can work from. If things keep changing, it really affects the ability in any aspect of the council's work to actually get on and get things done.
Okay, I think it's good news, and it's it makes me feel, and I'm sure others will too, knowing that, that there are people that really, really care about what they're doing. And obviously, this is one topic. This is one part of the council that
it's the most important part.
Yeah,
frankly,
definitely. How? Because I know that in the news there were, I don't know how much we can talk about this. There were some issues that happened a couple of years ago, and they've come back in. They've been in the news very recently, I believe. What's the situation there about a young child?
It's really not appropriate to talk about individual instances at all, frankly. I think you're possibly referring to a story that was published by one media organisation at the end of last week. I was very cross that was published because I don't think it showed responsible journalism. There was an account from one side of a long-running incident making various allegations and stating that things were happening that have not been happening, that things weren't being done that in fact are being done. And Children's Services is in a funny position in a way, because we're there to protect children, and part of that protection comes from anonymity and not drawing attention to the individual or drawing attention to them via their family, which has the same effect. And therefore, there, in this particular instance, so I'm not going to get drawn into detail.
Sure,
there's
been
a massive amount of work going on for 18 months, if not more. I can't tell you what's going on.
No, that's fine.
When it was brought to my attention, I obviously was deeply concerned, so I went straight to the most senior officers in the council dealing with Children's Services. I want to know about this now. And had received detailed information, a detailed briefing. And as with other areas I've looked into, I'm more than confident that everything is being done. There's a very serious situation and a lot of delicate work being done. These things take time. I know that sounds like a politician's phrase, but where there is such delicacy and sensitivity, it has to be that way. And prurient media reporting can really upset individual instances, but it can also undermine confidence in the system. If you get something like that coming out, what's to say that someone else who's really worried, concerned, knows of a situation, knows of something that they might be wanting to use our phone line about, is going to say, oh, well, I'm not sure I'll do that. I'm not sure if I trust these people. Brilliant. And then a child may be suffering as a result of that.
Sure, absolutely. I asked a question, not to put you on the spot, but to highlight a problem that you would have every day, and you know these things happen, unfortunately. How much of a hampering is it? It's probably a big one, isn't it? The fact that we've got people out there that want to break these stories, and it doesn't really mean much to them, but they just want to break it anyway to create a situation.
If something's going wrong, oh, for goodness sake, break it.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, that's otherwise you get the sort of complacency you've had in certain well-reported instances elsewhere in the country. And for goodness sake, you don't just sit back and say, oh, it's probably all right. That'd be the worst thing to do. But there has to be a balance between that and being responsible and taking a one-sided account and not allowing time for that to be checked and to consider the other side. That's where the damage can come. But for goodness sake, I'm not saying that media organisations shouldn't draw attention to wrong things going on. That's the Jimmy Savile situation, isn't it? People saying, oh, we can brush that under the carpet, it's just him or these things happen. For goodness sake, look at all the damage that's come out as a result of that.
No, I'm glad I asked the question because, you know, it wasn't
a
question.
You said you were going to put me on the spot when it came into the studio.
Well,
I heard you say.
Well, that wasn't the question I was going to ask you. I've got another one to put you on the spot. But I'm glad you said what you said, because it kind of, we now know where things are and where the goalposts are. And most of us that work in the media, we're not going to break stories like that. We're not going to do it. We're going to act with a little bit more dignity, and hopefully, you know, we're not going to put ourselves in a situation where it could be dangerous, and you know, it could really, you know, just put things in people's minds. I just think sometimes it's you know, we've got to act a little bit more grown up.
But we have a Children's Services department now that was not good, far from good, and is now much, much better. Of course, there's always room for improvement. It's one of those things, you can never be perfect, but you keep striving for that. And so if people are aware of things, what they should do is get in touch. And it's, I suppose the situation then is, it can get frustrating when people get in touch and they can only be then be told things are being looked at, things are being done. But I think you'll find now that whereas before perhaps you might not have been able to trust a statement like that, I think you can on the whole trust that statement now. And if not, if people are still worried, bring it to attention again, bring it to a politician's attention, so it can be approached, but approached in an appropriate way.
Okay, thank you for that, and thank you for clearing it up, and thank you for being honest and open about it. And I think it's that's all we can be, is honest and open. Shall we change tack and talk about the voluntary sector events that are up and coming on safeguarding?
Yeah. Yep.
Have you got to put your glasses on again? Have you? Do you want to just move yourself around to that microphone? That's it. Yeah, yeah,
I
that's
can't
much
see
better.
You now.
Well, that's fine. That's good for you.
So I've been having conversations with Mike Bulpit and Sarah Ellis at Community Action Isle of Wight about how we could put some events together that shows the board's support for the voluntary community sector and the good work that they do across the whole of the Isle of Wight in working with a range of different communities and individuals. So the sort of thing, we haven't got any dates yet, so watch out on our website for more details how you can get on these events and book on them. What the sort of things we want to talk to them about are about how to safely recruit, particularly volunteers, how that ensures young people that they support are safe. About social media, we talked about earlier, and the implications that has for how you work with young people and what to watch out for. And something quite topical for us on the island at the moment is what is neglect and how does that show itself in young people in particular, not just children and babies. So helping people to recognise and respond to and understanding what it means when particularly adolescents are being neglected by their parents and carers. So we're looking at maybe four or five events at different parts of the island, different times of day, May, June time, open to hopefully a wide range of community voluntary groups soon.
Okay. Because you're having highlighting this is what it is. Does it tend to put people off coming in and talking, or does it give them a sense of somewhere to go to talk about issues and problems?
To be fair, these are ideas that we've had, which we've put out there, and we're asking community voluntary groups: is this what you would like to talk about too, or are there other things you'd like to come and talk to us about? But around safeguarding and promoting the welfare of children and people, so I think there is a lot that we can do to ensure that things are safer and as safe as they can be in terms of a lot of the voluntary activity that's run specifically for young people. So if there are things that community voluntary groups want to talk to us about and we can support them with or put particular training events on the island as opposed to on the mainland, that's something that the board is very, very keen to support.
Okay. And we don't know yet when the first event is going to be?
No, we're waiting just for some feedback first from community voluntary groups, and then we should get some dates out on our website, hopefully in early March.
Okay. Where are we going to sort of meet? Where is it going to happen? Is it going to happen in places where...
We're looking at different venues across the whole of the Isle of Wight. So something central in Newport, something in West Wight, something in the other part of the island, so we're getting to know what all the places are called, Ian, so don't test me. So different venues, so we're appreciating that, and also different times of day, so weekends, evenings, not just during the day.
What sort of age group do you have most problems with at the moment? Is it a case of it's across all ages? Where are most of the issues?
It depends what you mean by problems, I guess. There's always challenges in terms of how you can provide information so that people understand the risks and potential risks, which depend on what situations that adults and carers find themselves in. So I would say that one of our challenges at the moment is around understanding the impact that domestic abuse has on somebody's ability to be a really good parent and how we support the adults that are in those situations. That's a challenge. Recognising adolescents, young people, and how child abuse manifests itself when they're older. It's very easy to recognise in young babies and toddlers, but it's not so easy to recognise in older young people, I would say.
Can we put Jonathan on the spot now again?
Yes, so, please. Yeah.
How many we were just discussing? How many children there are on the Isle of Wight that we have to care for?
number of children in care at the moment.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
How many
children? Because you're basically almost like responsible for them all, aren't you? There's something in place.
I think we're roughly about 25,000, aren't we?
25,000.
Only 5,000 out.
Well, you never know. There might be 5,000 out there, extra. We don't know. It's just about 25,000. There's a lot. There's a massive responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely.
So do you sleep at night? Because, you know, poor old Julie doesn't. She has sleepless nights over it. She's worried.
I've been having 16-hour days at the moment, so sleep... I have to sleep. I don't... The eyes close without... it's not that voluntary, frankly.
Well, say that we're talking about the old voluntary sector. I mean, how many other people are around? You know, how many people do you need to help out? Is there an amount that you need for this to work? Is there too many? Or you know, can we all volunteer? Can people volunteer?
I think if you ask somebody like Mike Bulpit, he would say you're always on the lookout for volunteers to help out. Certainly, we rely more and more on community to support groups within their area. So, and there are a lot of community voluntary groups across across the island.
I met an amazing girl last week. She was 17 years old, and she's part of Breakout.
Mm-hmm.
Does that ring any bells?
Yeah.
I was 17, and she came out, and she was telling us the problems that she had with her grandparents because they didn't understand, and they still don't understand now. But she was very, very keen to come in and talk about and obviously let people know that there are help, there's help out there, and people can talk and so on. And I just think these things are wonderful. I really do. But if you were to go back 20 years, even 10 years, something like that wouldn't be in place. So again, you know, we live in a world that's forever changing, and I'm guessing you guys have got to be, you know, a step ahead. So it must be incredibly difficult, and that's probably the reason why you have sleepless nights and Jonathan's got 16-hour days. It's incredible. So, I mean, do you see things, and how do you see things changing in the next little while with technology and things that are changing in our world?
That's a bit of a general question.
Yep.
I mean, if you're talking about in terms of protecting children, the thing to do is always try and be one step ahead of the game. Particularly with the way, an obvious example, you see the way you see things going with social media now. I suppose I think one other thing you said you might be touching on today is how that, perhaps more widely than just children, can tie into things like radicalisation. And so on, and it's difficult to be one step ahead, but that's what you've got to try and do. You've got to try and think the way that the nasty people are thinking.
Because I look at Facebook. Facebook is quite. I mean, it's always in the news for forms of abuse. You know, whether it be young children or you know people of our age. So is there a legal law where, or something where you say, right, okay, you can't be on Facebook until you're 14 or whatever? I mean, if that is the case, it's a bit like, you know, well, so-and-so's on Facebook, but you're not, and then it's open for ridicule and so on. And so. But is there an unwritten rule somewhere where you've got to be of a certain age to be on Facebook? And if so, would it help?
I think there is a rule about certain age to be on Facebook, but parents do allow their children to set up Facebook accounts. I thought it was 16.
But how do you control
how
it?
How do you enforce that? How do you monitor it?
So these are the issues that you're going to have on a daily basis that you're up against. So do you offer advice to parents and say, I mean, you've got a young daughter. I forget how old Frank is, but she's 12?
Frank's 11 at the moment.
11, yeah. 12. Yeah. Is she on Facebook?
She's not on Facebook, no. But she's got a tablet for Christmas. She likes to play games and so on. I'm a proud father. She's very responsible because occasionally things will flash up, adverts will flash up. She'll come and show me, and it's trying to instill that. So I'm not trying to crow over how good my daughter can be, but it's trying to instill that in children. But perhaps almost more importantly, instill that in adults that things can suddenly appear on a screen in front of you. There are people out there who are trying to make that happen, and it's the reaction you should have. The ability to control sounds a bad word because you've got to give children some leeway and ability to develop on their own, but you've just got to have an awareness that these things can happen. I might be being simplistic. It's the thing about having a computer in your room where you can, someone young can do things without being watched. If you're having a computer, and friends of mine will make sure the computer that the youngsters use is in a a general area of the house, so you can look over the shoulder occasionally. But that's part of just an awareness that there are things out there that even with the best will in the world, children can be exposed to that, frankly, they just shouldn't be.
Okay. No, we'll take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll chat some more. And I've got a few other questions that might, put you on the spot a little bit, facts and figures and all that, because I know you like your facts and figures. We'll come back in two ticks.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre.
Okay, it's Tuesday. We have Jonathan Bacon in the studio. We also have Prickles in as well, Ali Hayden, and we've also got Julie Davis, who is... you are from the IOW-SCB Board and Partnership Manager. That's what you are, isn't it?
You can't remember what it stands for. Well, come on, yeah. Let's put you on the spot. Right. What does it stand for?
It stands for the Isle of Wight Safeguarding Children's Board. No, sorry, Children Board. Children's Trust and Improvement Board. There you go.
Yeah, well read.
That's off my email.
Crikey. When you introduce somebody... what do you do? Is there a shortened version?
Just Safeguarding Board.
Right.
That's my main job, yeah.
Okay. Now, you wanted to talk about Chelsea's Choice. Mm-hmm. Just tell us about what Chelsea's Choice is.
Okay, Chelsea's Choice is about raising awareness about child sexual exploitation. It's regularly in the news, and it's something we do need to be concerned about on the Isle of Wight. So Chelsea's Choice is a theatre production that's delivered by a company called Alter Ego. They delivered it in lots of places across England mainly, and they're in schools on the island for the third time this week. They came here yesterday, we're at the Isle of Wight College, and they're going to a lot of other schools this week. With a production which raises awareness of healthy relationships, promotes safe internet use and risky situations, getting people to understand. It's a very powerful production. I've seen it myself twice. And it's very hard-hitting and gets you to really think about how young people can be exposing themselves and not realising what's happening to them because they're being exploited and manipulated and groomed by adults through lots of different means, whether it's a chance meeting in a cafe or on the internet or just via Facebook, for example. So it's the Safeguarding Children Board helping young people, helping teachers, parents, governors understand what it means, how people can find themselves falling into it without realising, and what to do to actually prevent it happening in the first place.
So will every child on the island have the potential to see this?
That's what we'd like, if schools sign up to this, and most of the schools have. This week we're going back to Medina and Cowes, Enterprise College and Ride, who've had it before. Not Medina. Medina have already had it. They'll have it again next time. St Catherine's. We try to do it on a rolling basis so that hopefully if we get further funding, we can continue it year on year. So as pupils move through the school system, we pick people up over a period of time. So that's the plan, is that all schools on the island, secondary schools, will have a chance to see the performance.
Okay, so just secondary schools and upwards. What about the younger ones?
We are looking at how we could take it into primary schools. It would need to be, I guess, a different type of performance, but we're talking to primary heads about how we could, in future, make this information available in a suitable format for younger, because it's tend to be aimed at sort of 13, 14, 15 upwards.
I think it's currently for year 9 and above, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
yeah. So it's not the first 2 years at senior school, but again, there's a need to work out how important messages can be got across to that younger group.
Mm. Yeah, is that something the parents would be involved with as well? Because obviously, because they're a little bit younger, it might be better if they've got their parents with them to sort of talk things through. As they get older, I would imagine it still may be an issue, but it may just be easier with the parents.
There's got to be serious questions about how you do it, and perhaps you need to get the awareness through to parents, and then get the message through parents, and hopefully that can be done. But you've always got to have a concern that won't work, which is why certainly with 13-year-olds and above, it's going direct through schools. I don't know if I'm talking out of turn in saying that, Julie.
No, I mean, there are other resources out there that can support parents. Bernardo's have got some really good Spot the Signs leaflets, which we're looking to promote and get out there for all parents. And certainly going into schools, we encourage schools to make parents aware so we can reach a wider audience with the information, even if the production is only targeted at the older children and students in the schools. So it's, in terms of a longer term plan, then we are looking at how we can raise awareness, because younger children are being sexually exploited across the country, younger than 14, 15, sadly.
Is it a major problem on the island? I mean, I'm guessing it's not, because we don't hear many stories, if any at all.
It depends on your perspective, I guess. We're aware and alive to it, and it is occurring on the island, but in terms of it's being managed, so that's why things don't hit the headlines like they have in Rotherham and Oxfordshire. We've got really good support services on the island that are identifying it early and working with the children and young people concerned. But it's something we need to be very aware of, and how it manifests itself, and therefore how we can protect our children and young people and support them, so that it doesn't actually escalate into something.
Begs the question. We did it a couple of weeks ago. We were asking teenagers, are they taught the right things in school? Should this be part of what they learn in school? Rather than having to raise funding for it to happen, it should just be taught.
To be fair, we are three public health colleagues looking at how we can introduce this into PHSE. So we're at the moment, so you can ask me what that stands for, aren't you?
Yeah,
I'm sure
go on.
Jonathan knows.
I'm sure he does.
public. Oh, I knew you'd put me on the spot on that.
Your colleague did. Don't blame me for that one.
Do you know, I can't.
Yes.
PHSE. S, yeah. Anyway,
that part of the curriculum, which is schools do deliver, we're looking at how we can introduce this component along with other things. So we're looking at how we can support schools to introduce it as part of what they do, rather than, as you say, being an add-on. Because we do find ourselves as public sector trying to bombard schools a lot of things about, whether it's child sexual exploitation, anti-bullying, road safety awareness, whatever it might be. And we're working with partners and public health to see how we can support schools so it's part of what they currently do, rather than being something different that goes in occasionally.
I mean, I was just thinking, I mean, we spoke about this earlier on. Jonathan wasn't privy to this, so maybe we'll just go back and we explain that, this morning there was a thing on the news about an app that can track your kids when they go to school, so the parents can keep an eye on them and know that they've got them there safely. And you're thinking, right, somebody's taken the time and the trouble to create that app, which probably, in hindsight, is not really going to be the most useful thing. And in actual fact, it could be quite dangerous. So I'm thinking, well, if we've got these things that we're doing and teaching in schools, maybe there was an app available, maybe there is, I don't know. That would be more helpful than a tracker, because that in the wrong hands could lead to massive difficulties.
An app that gives you a few guidelines of how to be aware of things and contact numbers.
Yes.
That sort of thing, yeah, I'd agree with that.
I mean, to me, that makes more sense than having a tracker, which is quite dangerous. And there the BBC is shouting about it, saying what a wonderful idea we've got, and in actual fact, it's not a wonderful idea. But if somebody wanted to take the time and the trouble to make an app, be helpful and give people what they need. And that would be more use, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm, it would.
Yeah. So I'll leave that one with you, Jonathan, and maybe we can have our own app. Maybe we become the leaders we're always sort of maybe governed by the mainland, but maybe we take it upon ourselves to say, hey, this is how we do it on the Isle of Wight now, because this is how we want to keep our kids safe. And that's when it comes down to it, that's all we want to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's not a bad idea.
Well, I'm not, I do have them now and again. Don't be so shocked. We've got 7 minutes left, so what I want you to do is get as much information out there as possible. We've done the telephone numbers. You just want to do the telephone number again. So if there's anybody out there that is actually listening to this and has any kind of concern, whether you're a grandparent, whether you're a mother, whether you're a father, whether you're a five-year-old, and, who do we call?
You call 0300 300 0117.
Okay. And there is a website as well, isn't there, Jonathan?
Yes, there is.
Which we'll come to in a moment. The other thing you wanted to talk about here, preventing violent extremism. Now, I'm not 100% sure what that actually means,
I was hinting at that earlier, it's interesting because there's a piece of legislation going through now. It's currently the Counter-Terrorism and Security Bill, and it's coming into force fairly soon, And it's going to create a duty on local authorities, amongst others, to prevent people from being drawn into terrorism and terrorism activity. And as I say, it's an extension of this sort of awareness thing we were talking of. Obviously, we've had recent examples, a recent example in Portsmouth, of the sort of things that can happen. But it's, again, it's a government thing to raise awareness. Actually, this would amuse you, Ian. It's the overall counter-terrorism strategy contest refers to the four Ps, but not the Vectis four Ps.
Oh, right, okay.
In relation to terrorism, it's protect, prepare, pursue and prevent. And we're, I suppose, looking really at the first of those, protect. There's really, through the police, the scope to engage with groups across communities to make them aware of the potential, and a lot of it, again, comes through social networking, and to create links and chains and information so you don't get radicalisation. But it's not just that radicalisation, the sort of 6 o'clock news version of Al-Qaeda and so on. The awareness is also that there is extremism in other forms, and in the same way, unfortunately, we have pockets of child sexual exploitation on the island. There are pockets of extreme right-wing radicalism on the island. That's the particular thing we've got in place in this community. And it's the awareness that exists, and so people who feel they are aware of someone involved in that or being exposed to that, particularly, again, a younger person, there again are contact details, and I know them this time. I mean, if you want me to give it out, I can give out names of a couple of police officers for the island who deal with that if you have any concerns in that regard. It's primarily Sergeant David Knowles, who is on 07584 614 642, and the email for that is david.knowles@hampshire.pnn.police.uk.
Okay, thank you for that. We are running out of time, but the sad thing is that the what we've just been talking about there is a very real threat nowadays. Mm. Whereas if you go back a few years, we probably didn't really take it that seriously.
No.
Maybe so. It just goes to show that things are changing all the time. So you have to be one step ahead. So I don't envy the jobs that you've got, but I'm glad that you're in them, because I know that you're both in them because you want to be and you want to make a difference. Because otherwise, you would be able to sleep at night, and it wouldn't be a problem. And knowing that you're doing 16-hour days and really, really busy and got our backs, that is quite, I feel like, well, someone's doing some good, so long may that continue. Is there anything else you want to plug and promote before we call time?
I don't think anything specifically, because the aim coming along today was to talk about particularly just awareness of the child services number. And the fact that people just need to be aware that there are things out there, whether you like it or not. And if you think there is something going wrong, get in touch with someone. But perhaps following on from what I said when I came into the room, also I think people can be assured now that there are ways that the awareness is part of this, but flowing from that awareness is also the fact that these things are taken seriously now. And action will be taking place. It might not sometimes feel like it when you've reported something, because of all the sensitivities. You can't be told day by day what is happening, how it's being dealt with. But I would like, from my role as Executive Member for Children's Services, to say you can have confidence in the system. So tell us if things are happening.
It must be. I mean, say there's so many problems out there, and half the time media are the issue, because they go out and they blow stories and they put it out there, and there's no responsibility there whatsoever. So I'm guessing that things are I'm pretty sure that things are being done properly, because you don't hear about too much in the news, which is probably how it should be, until it's actually done and dusted and someone.
But the media can play a role. I mean, it's all very well coming along, and then things were being pulled, and BBC were going very quiet. Other media organisations were saying, hang on, what's going on, and starting to look into it. And now we've got that Operation U-Tree, whatever it's called, that is actually bringing all this stuff out. And one could say that part of that is due to responsible media activity. But it's that sort of thing I was talking about earlier, where it's not responsible and it's acting purely for the story. And bringing about risks as a result of that, denting confidence in the system, and thereby, as I say, inhibiting the activity, the good activity that may be going on, by making people feel, well, what's the point? Mm. That's possibly the thing I'm really most vexed about as a result of last week, that people might now think, well, why should I say what I think's happening to X down the road, because nothing's going to happen anyway. For goodness sake, report it, because it will be taken seriously, and action will be taken wherever it is appropriate.
Well said, and thank you. Just one more time then. Telephone numbers, websites. Get them specs back on.
Telephone number is 0300 300 0117, and the website, after your three W's, is iowscb.org.uk.
Thank you.
And we have a Twitter feed as well. You can follow us on Twitter.
Okay. Thank you for coming in. Will you come in again?
Yes.
It wasn't that bad, was it?
No.
Once more we're feeling.
Thank you both, and you know, not just for coming in, but for the work that you do. I think it's great, and obviously you've got teams of people that are working around you, so they do deserve a pat on the back as well.
Absolutely.